مدني life of the last prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم مدني life of the last prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear viewers of Madani Channel, in the previous episode, we heard about Ashabi Suffa and their education. Suffa was the first Islamic school in Medina, which was founded by the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam. The main teacher of the institution was the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam himself. Can you imagine? Sayyidul Anbiya, Imamul Anbiya, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam, because of whom the entire world is created. He himself is teaching. And who are the students? The blessed companions of Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba ikram alayhim ridwan, subhanallah azza wa jal. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, in today's episode, we'll discuss the Treaty of Hudaybiyah in detail. What was the Treaty of Hudaybiyah and what effects did it bring to Islam? But first, let's listen to the excellence of reading Salat, meaning durood upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, that when those who love one another for Allah Almighty's pleasure shake hands and send salat upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, their sins are forgiven before they depart. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, this was the sixth year after migration. Among all the incidents of this year, the best are the Pledge of Rizwan and Treaty of Hudaybiyah. This is a significant incident in Islamic history. The progress to come is well related to this. The Treaty of Hudaybiyah was an agreement between the Muslims and the disbelievers of Quraysh settled at a place called Hudaybiyah. This is why it is called the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Apparently, it is a submissive truce, but the Holy Quran titles it as Fath-e Mubin, in other words, clear victory. It was the sixth year after migration. It had been 5 years since the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam migrated from Makkah. But the disbelievers did not allow him any breathing space in Medina either. Many wars occurred between Muslims and the disbelievers of Makkah. The disbelievers of Makkah closed the boundaries of Makkah for Muslims. People from around the world performed Hajj, Umrah, enacting upon the Sunnah of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. But Muslims were kept deprived of tawaf of the house of Almighty Allah. The passion to see the house of Allah Almighty would always keep Ansar and Muhajirin restless in Medina. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would console them that soon they would see that day. One day, the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam gave glad tidings, gave good news to his companions. He said, I have dreamt that all of us are entering Masjid-e-Haram peacefully and safely. Since the dream of a prophet is a revelation from the Lord, the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam understood that it was a command of his Lord. In Dhul-Qa'dah, the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam wore ihram and left from Makkah with 1400 Sahaba ikram alayhi wa ridwan. They also had sacrificial animals. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam feared that the disbelievers of Makkah might stop them from performing Umrah. Therefore, the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam already sent a person to Makkah so that he could get information about the plans of the disbelievers of Makkah. When the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and his companions reached Asfan, the man came back and informed him, all the tribes of Arabia have gathered disbelievers and ordered them to prevent Muslims from entering Makkah. The disbelievers of Quraysh gathered their allies and prepared an army. They camped at Balda to stop Muslims from entering Makkah. Khalid bin Walid and Abu Jahl's son Ikrama took a group of 200 soldiers each and reached Ghamim. When the Holy Prophet ﷺ saw the signs of the riders of Khalid bin Walid, he moved off the road and began traveling down the path. They avoided the common pathway. They reached Hudaybiyah and camped there. Water was in short supply and there was only one well. That well dried up in a few hours. The companions were extremely thirsty. The Holy Prophet ﷺ placed his blessed hand in a big bowl. A spring of water began to flow from his blessed fingers. Subhanallah. The Holy Prophet ﷺ poured the leftover water of his wudu into the dry well. He also put one of his arrows in the well. The well became full of water. All the groups and their cattle kept drinking from it for many days. Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala describes this miracle in these words. Ungliyan hai faiz par, toote hai pyaase jhoom kar, nadiyan Punjab rahmat ki hai jari wah wah. My dear Yusuf Madani channel, Bayt-e Rizwan also occurred during the course of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. How did it happen? Reaching Hudaybiyah, the Holy Prophet ﷺ noticed that a huge army of disbelievers of Quraysh were willing to fight a war. The Muslims were wearing ihram, they couldn't even kill a lice. The Holy Prophet ﷺ took the decision to send someone to Makkah for peace talks. For this purpose, he chose Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu apologized and said, O Allah's Messenger, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the disbelievers of Quraysh are my deadly enemies. There's not even a single man from my tribe in Makkah who could save me from these disbelievers. Hearing him, the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam sent Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu to Makkah. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu reached Makkah and sent a message for the truce to the disbelievers of Quraysh. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was very honorable to the disbelievers of Makkah due to his financial status and the support of his tribe. Therefore, the disbelievers of Quraysh could not hurt him. Rather, they said to him, you are allowed to do Tawaf-e-Kaaba, Sa'i of Safa and Marwa and perform Umrah. However, we will not allow Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam to come close to Kaaba. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu refused to do Umrah without the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. That heated up the situation and the disbelievers stopped him in Makkah. In the plains of Hudaybiyah, a rumor spread out that Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu has been martyred. When the news reached the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he said, it is mandatory to avenge Uthman's murder. Having said this, the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam sat under a gum Arabic tree. He said to Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan, you all pledge allegiance at my hand that you will remain loyal as long as you live. All his companions made a promise with passion and pledged allegiance at his blessed hand. It is reported in one more narration that after making his companions pledge allegiance, the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam placed his right hand on his left hand and humbly said in the court of Allah Almighty, O Allah, this hand is from Uthman because he has gone to obey your and your messenger's command. My dear Yusuf Madani channel, this is the bi'at which was done with devotion, passion, loyalty and self-devotion by Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this bayat and the tree in the Holy Quran. Translation from Kanzul Iman, those who pledge allegiance to you, O beloved, they actually pledge allegiance to Allah. Allah's hand of power is above their hands. So whoever breaches the covenant, he has breached a big covenant of his. And whoever fulfills the covenant which he made with Allah, so very soon Allah will bestow upon him a great reward. After Bayt-e Rizwan has been taken, it was learned that the news of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu's martyrdom was incorrect. He was safe in Makkah and he wasn't disgraced. Then he came to the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam safely. The very first man who reached the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in Hudaybiyah was Budayl bin Warqa Khuzay. His tribe had not yet accepted Islam. These people were an ally of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, and they were sincere with him. Budayl bin Warqa informed the Holy Prophet ﷺ that the disbelievers had gathered a huge army. The army had milked she-camels for food. These people would fight with you. They would not let you in the Holy Kaaba. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, "Go and give my message to the Quraysh that we don't intend to fight, nor do we want a war. We have come here only to do Umrah. Continuous fight have caused the Quraysh financial and physical damages. So it is better for them that they don't fight either. Rather, we should make a truce agreement for a fixed period. If the Quraysh agree with what I am saying, it will be better for them. If they fight me, I swear in the name of Lord, in whose hand of power my soul is, I will fight them until my head is separated from my body." My dear viewers of Madani Channel, according to the tradition of the Arabs, performing Hajj and Umrah was the legal rights of the Muslim, but the Quraysh were unable to realize it because of their bias. They did not want to see their ego being shattered by giving the Muslims permission to perform Umrah. The Quraysh did not want the Muslims to come to Mecca, perform Umrah, and then go back silently. This could bring an impression to the other tribes of Arabs that Quraysh of Mecca feared the Muslims. They could not face the Muslims. On the other hand, they also thought that if we stop the Muslims from doing Umrah or we begin a war, other tribes would think that the Quraysh are trying to become the owners of Kaaba instead of remaining the caretakers. This double-edged situation was sensitive for the Quraysh. The only way out was to opt for the truce with the Muslims. Budayl bin Warqa took the message of the Holy Prophet ﷺ to the disbelievers of Quraysh. He said, "I have brought a message from Muhammad ﷺ. I will read it to you if you wish." The mischievous, aggressive and unwise men from the disbelievers of Quraysh began to shout, "No, not at all. We do not need to listen to his message." The serious and wise people from the Quraysh permitted him to read out the message. Budayl bin Warqa presented the offer of truce from the Holy Prophet ﷺ to those people. Hearing this, an elderly and honored chief from the Quraysh tribe, Urwa bin Mas'ud Saqafi, stood up and said, "O Quraysh, aren't I your father?" All said, "You are." Then he said, "Aren't you my children?" They all replied, "Yes, we are." Then he said, "You people do not have any negative assumptions about me, do you?" All said, "Not at all." After that, Urwa bin Mas'ud said, "Muhammad has presented a thing of great wisdom and goodness. Therefore, you people allow me to settle things with him." Everyone allowed him to go and talk. Urwa bin Mas'ud reached Hudaybiyah. He had a long dialogue with the Holy Prophet ﷺ, but his way of talking to the Holy Prophet ﷺ was condescending. So Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan could not bear it. Some of the companions also had arguments with Urwa bin Mas'ud. Due to the improper way of talking of Urwa bin Mas'ud, the parties could not reach a solution. Urwa bin Mas'ud saw the great and surprising scene of the devotion of Sahaba, which impressed his heart a lot. Therefore, he presented his views to the army of Quraysh in these words, "O my nation, by Lord, when Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam clears his throat, what comes out is taken on the palm of one of his companions, and that man applies it to his face and skin with love. When he ordered something, all rush to act upon it. When he makes wudu, his companions rush to grab the falling water in such a way as if combat has begun amongst them. When he talks, all his companions become silent. Their hearts have such respect for him that no one dares to look at him continuously. O my nation, by Lord, I have never seen such respectful courtier of any king. The way Muhammad's companion respect him is matchless." Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. What a great respect the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had for Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through their sadaqah, give us true love for Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and true love for all Sahaba Ikram alayhim ulidwan. Ameen bijahin Nabi Lameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Continuing further, my dear viewers of Madani channel, the dialogues took place with five representatives of Quraysh of Makkah. The last representative was Suhail bin Amr. Based on some conditions, Muslim and the disbelievers of Makkah had a truce. The treaty was based on such conditions which seemed to cause the Muslim a loss. One of the conditions was that there would be a ceasefire for 10 years between the two parties. The other terms of the treaty were as follows. The Muslims will have to return to Medina without doing Umrah. The Muslims will perform Umrah in the upcoming year and they will stay at Makkah for 3 days and they will return. They will carry no weapons other than their swords. The sword should be covered and they should keep it in a bag. The Muslims already living in Makkah will not be taken with by the Muslims who are doing pilgrims. If any Muslim wants to stay in Makkah, he should not be stopped. Whoever flees to Medina from Makkah will be sent back to the Quraysh, but whoever comes to the Quraysh from the Muslims will not be sent back to the Muslims. The Arab tribes are free to be allies to either of the parties. When the treaty was settled, the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam ordered Sahaba ikram alayhim ridwan to get up, sacrifice animals and exit ihram. Muslims were not happy with the conditions fixed under the desire of the disbelievers of Quraysh. Having heard the order of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, none of the Muslims stood up. But due to respect, no one could say anything. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam talked about it with Sayyidina Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha. She said, I would suggest that you don't say anything to anyone. You sacrifice the animal yourself and get your head shaved. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam did the same. When Sahaba ikram alayhi wa sallam saw the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam sacrificing the animal and that he had also exited ihram, they became certain that the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam wouldn't change his decision. All began to sacrifice animals. They also shaved one another's head. They were very sad. After that, the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam left for Medina with his companions. My dear viewers of Madani channel, despite the order received from the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, his blessed companions kept sitting and did not act. It was not because they were disobeying him. They couldn't even think of this. The reason why Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan were unhappy was that the terms of the treaty were set on the desires of the disbelievers alone. The Muslims were dominated and accepted the truce. Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan thought that it seemed to be the weakness of Muslims. But the eyes of the companions could not see the fruitful eyes which the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had seen with the vision of prophethood. Looking at it, it seemed like the Muslims have been dominated in this truce. However, they had a huge victory later. After the treaty, the Muslims became more anxious. To comfort their hearts, Allah Almighty gave them the glad tidings of a clear victory. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Translation from Kanzul Iman, we have indeed granted a clear victory for you, O beloved. My dear viewers of Madani channel, Allah Almighty regarded this victory as a clear victory. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, is this a victory? The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam replied, yes, it is. Although at that time, the Muslims did not have a positive opinion about the treaty. The following incidents proved that treaty to be the key to all victories. Everyone admitted that the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was such a clear victory that paved the way to the preaching of Islam in Makkah. And this also brought about the conquest of Makkah. By that time, the Muslims and the disbelievers had remained distant. They had not had any opportunities to meet one another. The treaty opened the door to free communication and meetings. The disbelievers would come to Medina and stay there for months. They would see the character and actions of the Muslims. They would listen about the Islamic ruling and the merits of Islam. The Muslims would go to Makkah. Their character, respectful manner, and worship would inspire the disbelievers in such a way that the disbelievers would convert to Islam. History witnesses that from the Treaty of Hudaybiyah to the conquest of Makkah, such a huge number of disbelievers converted to Islam. That had never happened. The conqueror of Sham, Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the conqueror of Egypt, Sayyidina Amr bin al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, were also among those who went to Medina and converted to Islam. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, although the terms of Treaty of Hudaybiyah were apparently against Muslims, the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam knew the far-reaching effect of the treaty. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam ignored the small disadvantage for a big advantage. As a result, the Muslims got rid of the disbelievers of Makkah and Islam began to flourish even more. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan didn't like the truce at first, but it proved to be beneficial for Muslims in future. Likewise, it also happens to us that sometimes we have to choose such thing that we do not like, but it is possible that the thing we don't like now can prove to be a means of safety for us in the future. It is also possible that what we like causes a loss for us in the future. Allah Almighty has revealed an ayah in the Holy Quran, translation from Kanzul Iman, and it is likely that you dislike a thing which is actually better for you, and it is likely that you like a thing which is actually bad for you, and Allah knows and you know not. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a principle of life in this holy verse. What you dislike is likely to be good for you. What you like is likely to be harmful to you. This principle gives rise to positive thinking. It helps us maintain thousands of matters in our lives. If something seems to be bad or wrong, we should look at its positive side. It is likely that there are more positive aspects and they're fruitful. The only thing we need to have is positive thinking. This way, many of the bitter things of our lives will be no more, inshallah. One of the aspects of this positive thinking is that a man should focus on bounties instead of troubles. If one is facing trouble at the same time, he has millions of bounties and hundreds types of success. It is unwise of him to keep thinking about troubles and failures and not paying attention to the happiness he has got and the achievement he has made so far. If we think about the bounties in that time, the pain will decrease by itself. Act upon this tip. Your life will be full of happiness, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Madani life of the last prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Madani life of the last